Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. I'm your host, Ashwin. I'm joined by DJ. Let me start by quickly preemptively apologizing for audio quality this week. I am on some travels for the holidays, spending time with family, so I was not able to move around with my podcast mic. But we're dedicated. We're here. We're putting out episodes for you guys. So, DJ, how are you feeling? I know you have a plane to catch in about 35, 40 minutes or to leave for in about 35, 40 minutes. So we're going to get this done, right?
Yeah, you've got to do it, right? Like your dedication on waking up on Christmas Eve at 7:45 a.m. You've got to...
It is Christmas Eve, yeah. 7:45 a.m. where I am.
Yeah. And our third co-podcaster is in Goa. So, we didn't even bother to try and get him on.
I mean, I'm not sure if Christmas Eve at 8:15 p.m. in Goa is the time you want him to be on the show.
You'll get his best thoughts then.
Get his best thoughts. All right, DJ, lots of it happening in the world of cricket. Lots to cover, actually. We're going to talk about the IPL auction summary. We're going to spend most of our time previewing the upcoming India-South Africa test match at the Centurion. But I have to start with what is just hot off the presses. India's women have just won their second test match in a row. How incredible is that? I mean, first England, now Australia. I think it's been our first ever win against the Australian women's side. So, A, huge congratulations. B, how are you feeling? I know you've been keeping up with a lot of the women's cricket this week.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. 11 test matches, 11 tries they've had, and they haven't managed to do it. And this time they managed to do it. It's, I think, the first time since 1977, I read somewhere, that India's beaten Australia. I mean, it's historic, right? But it was comprehensive. India's won by 8 wickets. And it was kind of nice because we batted first when we played England and put on a big score. This time, India batted second, was in a little bit of trouble at one point. And then you had a nice partnership between Deepthi and Vastrakar, actually, who's I think she's got a legitimate claim to being woman, player of the series, right? Like, she's had a fantastic tournament, I would say, and so has Deepthi. So, really great to see the Indian women pull off that win against, an Australian all-time great team, I would say, right? Like with the likes of Elise Perry and Talia McGrath was leading. I think she was captain this time. But you've got Alyssa Healy, may have been captain, but Talia was in there. There's lots of like
Alyssa was in
Beth
captain,
Mooney, yeah. But there were some brain fade moments as well. Did you see the run out from short leg?
I did. Absolutely unbelievable. I'm surprised there was no warning given and, you know, just, sorry, it's too soon. It's probably too soon. But yeah, incredible.
Extraordinary. But also
a moment of genius in the field, right? Your field, on-field awareness is important.
Yeah, but what did Beth Mooney think? That she was just having a net or like what?
Unclear. Test cricket is so mentally grueling for that reason. You're out there for so long. It's hard. Conditions can be hard. Absolutely full credit. A test win is magnificent.
And I love that the Indian women are playing test cricket again. And it's back to test cricket season. We've had the ODI World Cup. We've had T20 World Cups. India men is going to start playing test cricket again. This is what we live for, man. Like 2 years ago, India was here in 21. Probably, I think, our greatest year ever in terms of test cricket, right? We had the GABA in January on your birthday. We had the win at Lord's with Kohli spraying himself with Dio on the balcony. And you had the win at the Oval. And then it ended with a win in South Africa. And 2 years later, we've gone full circle. So we're going to talk all that. But I'm super excited, man. I love test cricket season. It is my favorite format of the game. And I can't wait to get into it with you.
And we are about to talk about in the men's side, but the only unconquered frontier. And if you're saying India hasn't beaten Australia on the women's side since the 70s, India has not beaten South Africa in the men's side ever in a test series. And in South Africa. And that is going to be a tremendous challenge.
And Dean Elgar is retiring, and he was a big thorn in our flesh last time around, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's playing the series.
Yeah, but after the series. Retiring. Yeah.
So it's going to be fascinating, very, very interesting. DJ, before we get to the India versus South Africa test series, which is what most of you listening are here for, what, like you said, we live for, we do have to talk about the last time we got together, we were previewing the IPL 2024 auction. Obviously, since then, the auction has happened. We've had a couple of days of rants, let's call them, against our supported franchise, the Delhi Capitals, in our WhatsApp group, which... thankfully, most of our listeners don't have to see or deal with. But let me just start by asking you, overall kind of reaction to the auction, right? I think the headlines are anybody who can bowl quick seems to get a ton of money. Anybody who's got an Australian passport seems to get a ton of money. I mean, it's unbelievable. Some of the numbers are unbelievable. How did you feel?
So let's just start with the guy who was least interested in the auction got closest to the top pick. Because Pat Cummins went for 20.5 crores, which at the time was a record, right? But your pick, Hasaranga, who you said you thought would go for the top money, he was probably the best pick of the auction, which allowed them, which it enabled the Sunrisers pick of Pat Cummins. He went for 1.5 crores, which was like shocking. And like you could see that the owners and the team management were high-fiving each other on the table because they were like, they'd probably budgeted like 10 crore for that guy.
Yeah, probably at least 8 or 10. Yeah.
And they're like, we've got him for 1.5, so you can go big after the other players. Predictably, Daryl Mitchell, massive fight over that guy, including from the Delhi franchise that we thought they should have gone big after him, but they kind of chickened out and he went to CSK to join Mitch Santner. He went for, I think, 14 crores. Rachin Ravindra, I thought he actually went a little bit light.
So again, that's the thing, right? Hasaranga and Rachin are spin bowling all around, right? And Daryl Mitchell, quick is a hard word, but Pat Cummins obviously a quick bowler. And then the biggest dollar amount or rupee amount this IPL has ever seen came. You want to talk about it? 8 years? I think it's been 8 years away from the IPL.
It's a weird pick though, man. Like I get why KKR went after him.
I think it's the weirdest pick, but yeah.
I get why KKR went after him. And he's a two-time World Cup winner. He's won the T20 World Cup. He's won the World Test Championship. He's a decorated bowler, but 24 crores for Mitchell Starc, unless they're going to bat him at three. I mean, like, what? If he takes, let's say he has a good season, he takes 24 wickets. You're paying him a crore per wicket.
That's a good way to say it. I saw some crazy numbers about even if he bowls his full quota of four overs, which is 20, yeah, four overs,
24 balls.
Which is 24 balls per match times the however many matches they play. Even if they make the final, it is an obscene, like it's like 70,000 rupees a step or something he is going to take, assuming number of steps per run up. But it's obscene. It's an insane amount of money for a quick bowler. And no discredit to Starc. He had a good World Cup. He's a class bowler. But does he deserve 24.7 crores? When you think about how much Bumrah makes, I don't even know what the number is because he's never.
I think 16, maybe
12.
I think 16. Yeah.
I mean, you're then implying Starc is worth 50% more than Bumrah, and I know that's not how market economics works because Bumrah has been at the same franchise for so long and stuff. But man, that seems wild. But anyway.
Yeah. Also, Travis Head, which is Varun's pick for the top pick, where he went for six.
Yeah.
Another spinning all-rounder, I guess.
Yeah.
More batting than bowling, like Rachin.
Yeah.
Recency bias at play there?
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely got... So, it depends. Are you asking me if he went for too little or too much? I think he went for too little as well. Again, because you look at how much he was potentially worth with the recency bias, I thought he could have gone for more. So, I think Travis Head's number was actually pretty fair, given the fact that he won his team an ODI World Cup recently, but doesn't actually have a great T20I record. And so I thought it was a fair bid, if you will.
Yeah, similarly with Pat Cummins, doesn't have a great T20 record at all, actually.
So let's talk about why Pat Cummins got 20 crores and CSK only played 4 crores for a guy we're going to talk about in the second half of this show, Shardul Thakur. Do you think he went undervalued? Was that a great deal for him? He's a fast bowling all rounder, according to you too.
So you're comparing Shardul with a guy who's won the.
I'm not. I'm asking if you are.
Captained the team to Ashes equaling.
I'm asking if you are.
Won friend. The World Test Championship final, and it's. I don't know. I can't remember whether he was part of the T20 World Cup when he probably was, wasn't he? So you're comparing that guy to Shardul Thakur?
I'm just asking if you are. Is all it was a question.
I'm not. Okay. I'm clearly all not. Right. Like the issue is that Shardul is one of the best that India has in that sphere, which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
You can't compare them. I mean, I'd even put him below. I don't know, Gerald Coetzee or someone. I think that guy has got talent with the bat as well. and we should talk about
that. Yeah, let's talk that.
He's a good
pick. For me, we had talked about potentially start going to a Mumbai Indians because, you know, they would be looking for a quick bowler to accompany Jasprit Bumrah, and Mumbai ended up picking Gerald Coetzee. So what is your take on that? Obviously, we'll probably see him wearing whites in the next week or so against Team India. But how do you feel about that pick? That's a pretty, you have to give credit to Mumbai. That's a great, great pick.
I think Mumbai had a blinder of an auction, man. And it hurts me to say this as a Delhi fan that has been burned by Mumbai in 2020. That team is looking pretty hard to beat with the local players as well as the foreign talent that they've got at their disposal. I think Gerald Coetzee's a great pick. I think AB de Villiers came out saying that he felt that this guy was a real serious talent for the future. Yeah. And he'd bowled at him and he was in AB's face. And it takes something to get into AB de Villiers' face, right? Like, now I can see that happening though. And in the same comment, he also said Sam Curran is overpaid, which I find pretty amusing.
And let's just wrap up Mumbai really quick. Spare a thought for Dilshan Madushankar, his country's highest wicket taker in the World Cup. And again, excellent talent. And I was thinking about it with Mumbai's top seven only needing one overseas batter in Tim David. Theoretically, you could be your bowling attack could have Bumrah, Coetzee, and Madushankar. And that is something to be reckoned with. TJ, we have to talk about that.
But they don't have a big name spinner though, Mumbai. So, but they've never really gone for that after Chahar.
Yeah.
They even released Chahar, right?
I think so, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, they've never really gone with spin, Mumbai.
No, they've never.
Maybe the pitch they play on.
One. Yeah. All right, DJ, before we wrap, we have to talk about the test match. I want to quickly ask you about some of the uncapped players, right? So as we think about, yes, you expect on paper, Travis Head, Mitchell Starc, Pat Cummins, Rachin, we all expected they'd get good money. A couple of names, I won't talk about all of them. One, Sameer Rizvi, who went to CSK, picked up 8.4. And two, Kumar Kushagra, who went to Delhi, picked up 7.2 crores. K squared. We have christened him
K2
or K squared on this show. But yeah, let's talk about that. A, phenomenal, right? I don't know much about both these guys' upbringing, but for any young athlete, that's life-changing kind of money. And hopefully it's the start of something to come much, much more over the years and access to exposure that can get you the Indian team, etc. But that is the magic of this IPL, right? Having these younger players rise to the top. How did you feel about seeing that?
Kind of nice. I think there's a Cricket Info article about who Sameer Rizvi is and why he's been picked. And he's basically a replacement for Ambati Raidu that is retired because that's the hole I thought CSK needed to fill. Yeah. I don't know enough about K2 Bhai, but I really hope that he justifies his price. I mean, he's gone for more than Travis Head got paid, right? It's quite a lot. And Delhi, I'm not sure. I think we had a fairly mediocre auction. Okay. So I've not got a lot of hope for the Delhi Capitals this year, unfortunately. And since something dramatic happens in the post trade window, which I know, Varun, and you think that Rohit Sharma is moving to Delhi for whatever reason.
Man, we have to have hope. If you don't have hope, then there's no point. You absolutely need the hope. But anyway.
No, but I don't see that. I don't see that happening. But these teams have got scouts everywhere, right? They've got scouts going out all over the place, looking for young talent which they can bring in. I mean, I remember when Varun Chakravarti got picked up for 8 crores. He was the highest uncapped player ever.
Yeah.
And now these guys are picking up eight-ish crores. Pretty regularly, right? So it's kind of nice. Apparently, I was reading on Twitter how this guy is, I think Sameer Rizvi, he's a big hitter, finisher type, low middle order type of batter. CSK are smart, man. Like, you don't become a five-time IPL champion without having the scouts in place and stuff, right? So I also liked it. Just while we were on CSK, somebody asked, have you got a succession plan for Dhoni in place? Of course, seeing the Rohit drama play out at Mumbai. And Stephen Fleming replied saying, we've had a succession plan for MS in place for the last 10 years.
That's an excellent line.
But it's pretty good. I mean, we waited. How long has it been in the show since we started? 14 minutes since we spoke about Dhoni.
That's pretty good. I'll give you credit for that. I think you're starting to get better. The longer he stays away from the game, you're starting to get better. So that's probably a good new record. Congratulations to all the players who got picked up on the auctions. Congratulations to all the fans who were excited by the pickups. It's been a pretty interesting auction. And now, just like we like to do on this show, we're going to take a hard pivot and go from the swashbuckling six hitting to test cricket. DJ is signaling to those of you watching on YouTube, please hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. It helps us grow. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back to talk about the test series. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. This week, I'm joined by DJ, and we're going to talk about the India versus South Africa tests. So, DJ, a lot to talk about, actually, right? Obviously, we will spend our time going through selection and who the 11 are. Let me start by asking you, what is the latest you've heard on Virat Kohli? Because he flew to South Africa, returned home for personal reasons. And is not yet back in South Africa, I believe, but the current headlines are still saying he's expected to be back in time for the Boxing Day test. But it is after lunch on the 24th, 2 days out, he didn't get to play the intra-squad red ball warm-up match with the side. What do you think? Do you think we're going to see a new number four for India, or do you think Virat's going to be back in time?
So I have no idea what you're talking about, because I've just been waiting for Kohli to walk out at number four to bat for India, because he didn't play the white ball series. Yeah. And we didn't even talk about the white ball series. That was
We should give credit to Sanju Samson as well. And that, of course, we'll get some.
Yeah, got 100. Arshdeep took wickets.
Which was just
ended
wonderful.
Ended up 2-1. Yeah, it was a good win. Tilak caught a few runs. But I have to say, and this sounds really terrible, because I felt like it was difficult again to not watch a game with Kohli in it, because there's a different intensity that he brings to the game.
Yeah.
That stride out to the wicket, in the field, the energy is different, right? And of course, these are all great players like Tilak, Gill. Sky is not playing because he's injured, of course. Who opened the batting? Yashasvi opened the
batting. Yeah, the thing is, it is different. It for sure is different, but I also...
The problem is I don't even remember who opened the batting. I remember Yashasvi opened the batting in the T20 games. And I have watched
these games. The ODI was Sudarshan and Patidar, right? And then Samson batted
Sudarshan,
three.
Sudarshan, he got runs.
Samson batted three.
Patidar looked insane, by the way, in that one game that he played.
Yeah, he started
He looked... like $1 million. I was like, wow. This guy's making a statement. But Samson got 100.
Samson batted three, which Harsha has been very public about, saying that's his position, right? You can argue that a lot of Samson's lack of success, let's call it, has been for him batting out of position. And then you had Rahul capturing the side and keeping playing at four, Tilak five, Rinku at six. And then Akshar and Sundar was the other interesting question, is seeing Akshar seven and Sundar eight. Now, they didn't have a great outing with the bat, but if they can get their act together, we've talked a lot on this show about how having somebody like a Washington Sundar at eight gives you a lot more options and a lot more balance. And so it's nice to see the setup testing that out or trying that out. So good ODI win in that third match. DJ, hot off the presses from the news, and Bharat Ramachandran on our YouTube comment says Kohli is back and practicing. So he's back in South Africa. So apologies for anybody who I gave a heart attack to. I think it looks like it's relatively hot off. I mean, you didn't even know he left. So you've been living under a rock. I've been so nervous.
But you did give me the heart attack. And I'm like, what?
And now it's resolved. So it's perfect. All right. So no more.
Fake news.
No more. It was absolutely real news. He did leave. And he was expected to be back. And he's back. So that's all that matters. Right. Mm. Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff. Let me start by saying India A has been playing against South Africa A in some warm-ups. And the two or three highlights are, hey, Prasidh Krishna picked up five and Sarfaraz Khan made 68 runs. Pradosh Ranjan Paul made 160. And I was like, wow, I've not even heard about this guy in the setup in terms of his ability to potentially play Test cricket for India. But great to see. And then we mentioned him, but Shardul Thakur, I think, came in at seven. And made 76 off of 98. And this is going to cause us selection headaches. So how do you feel about kind of that?
This is what I was waiting for, right? The Shardul innings. I actually followed the thing on Cricinfo when it was going.
Yeah.
Shardul, I think it was overnight not out as well. on 75 of like 90 balls or something.
Yeah.
This is the headache we end up with, right? Mm-hmm. So let's go through the... So this is the first series in the post-Purane era.
Post-Purane.
Sounds weird. Yeah. Post-Purane.
So in the Naya era, right?
Naya Dor.
That's it. We should not be advertising writers or anything.
So like who are we opening with? Rohit is going to open?
So
Yashasvi.
So let's think about this though, right? The last time we played a test, Rohit opened with Yashasvi. Yashasvi had tremendous success. The player who did not have success was the opener who got pushed into number three. And that was Shubman Gill. He struggled at number three against the West Indies. Now, we can sit here and ask whether he is trying to make that his spot. That's going to be the spot where he could arguably bet for the next 12, 15 years at that slot. But he didn't have a great West Indies tour at number three. So it sounds like you are saying they will stick to the plan from the West Indies, Rohit and Yashasvi with Gill at three?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they will. I think long-term Gill has to drop down, right?
Yeah.
Eventually. So I think he made his way into the team as an opener, yeah. But he's not a natural opener. And particularly, well, he did well in Australia as an opener. Remember that knock in Brisbane?
Yeah.
Magnificent 91. So in theory, he should be pretty good on South African tracks as well. He hasn't really lit this series up, the white ball series up. And he struggled a little bit. There was one where he reviewed where he shouldn't have. Yes. Then the next one, he didn't review when he should have. So he struggled a little bit. But I almost think that he should bat three and we should give him a bit of a rope at three because it's been vacated now.
Yeah, and he's earned it.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Let's give him that. Yeah.
Of course, no doubt about it. The question is, who are the other openers in the squad? And I think Ruturaj is in the squad.
Ruturaj is in the squad. But he's
a natural opener.
But does he get a look ahead of a Yashasvi or you're saying a backup potentially?
I think as a backup. Yeah. I think Yashasvi, he scored 100 on debut, right? And I don't know, he probably averages more than 75 in test cricket in his 2-3 games that he's played.
Yeah.
He's got a good pull shot. He's got a good back foot game. I would start with Yashasvi.
Actually, I'm sorry.
He's a young...
We should also recall Ruturaj was out, I think, injured. And Abhimanyu Ishwaran is now in. So he's slotted into the squad as well.
Yeah. So fair enough. Yeah. So then I don't think there's a discussion around it. I think Yashasvi and Rohit
open. So you're saying...
Gill 3,
Rohit 4, never a question. Then, as you look at...
Not Rohit 4.
I'm sorry, Kohli what did 4. I say? I said Kohli 4.
Yeah.
They're the same for me, clearly. Right?
And this is the scene, remember, that of Kohli's downfall as a captain.
Yeah.
This is the last series that he captained in Test cricket. They were up 1-0. They'd won the first Test match. They lost the next two. Dean Elgar, Bavuma, Keegan Peterson. So I have pretty dire memories from the start of 22, actually. Yeah. And then Kohli was sacked as test captain. And I, again, lost a bit of interest in test cricket for a while. But
he's back and he is...
And he's back and he'll be willing to... wanting to prove a point. He was screaming into stump mics last time around about how the whole nation...
You love that. That's your favorite picture.
It was one of the greatest moments ever where Ashwin and KL and these guys went into the stump mics and started yelling at Super Sport. But he'll be back and he'll have a point to prove. He hasn't scored... I don't know what his average is in South Africa. He scored 800 at least, I know. And I don't think he's been as successful in South Africa as in Australia because the ball tends to seam as well as bounce. Whereas Australia is kind of a bit flatter. There's bounce, but not as much lateral movement, so sideways movement. So I think Kohli will be out to prove a point there.
Yeah, so then I'm just trying to pull up. His test average is 49.3. His average in South Africa is 51.3. He has 200s and three half centuries in 14 innings. So it's not bad.
Okay, then I've misspoken. It's not. 50 plus is great.
Yeah. I mean, 14 innings is not a huge sample size compared to the 25 innings where he averages 54 in Australia. Interestingly, he averages 36 in New Zealand, but that's only off of four matches. 43 in Sri Lanka and 14.75 in Bangladesh. So Bangladesh is the only...
Oh, it's weak spot.
Basically, he doesn't even go. He doesn't play there.
Yeah, he doesn't play those days. No, but he'll be wanting to play. Now, that brings us to the very interesting number five spot.
Yeah. So,
who's your number five in this squad?
Let's just jump ahead quickly then. Because you're basically saying seven will be Jadeja. And we're saying from there on, you have Bumrah and Siraj guaranteed. basically.
Yeah, because Shami's injured.
So Bumrah and Taraja are guaranteed. So your question then is two batters, including a keeper at 5 and 6, and two other bowlers, right? So your top four are set. For me, 5 and 6, likely, this may not be the popular opinion, will be Shreyas and KL, maybe in backwards order. So I think, to the point Varun tried to make, KL is trying to establish himself as a middle order batter who can keep in all three formats. He has done a stellar job. We've talked about his improvements as a keeper with the white ball. I think it'll be very interesting. But to me, if you can bat with either Shreyas or KL at 6, you're giving yourself options. To me, actually, Shreyas is a non-negotiable. And that might be famous last words. I think he walks into the side in Test cricket. And so then your discussion is KS Bharat is the other keeper. Do you play him to get slightly better keeping abilities? Or do you leave out Rahul? Do you play Rahul and KS Bharat at 5 and 6 with Jadeja to come in at 7? That's the kind of first question mark. DJ, what do you think? Who is your 5 and 6?
So I would actually play KL.
At 5, okay.
The question is, can he keep at 5? Question is whether he can keep wicket. He's been a designated wicketkeeper in one first-class match so far in his career.
Yeah.
And keeping in Test cricket is a very different kettle of fish from keeping in a one-day game or a T20 game, right? And you drop a catch in Test cricket, it can haunt you for 4 days.
Especially with the lateral movement like you talked about. It is not easy to be a keeper.
He's worked on his keeping though. So that's been a really good sign.
Yeah.
So, and he's keen to do it. And I think he let it slip as well that he wants to keep in all three formats. So I would, and KL has been really good in Test cricket ever since he made his way back into the team in the England series in 2021. And he scored hundreds and he did well as an opener. But this is a different point, right? Like he's going to be batting in the middle order. Now, the other option is Ishan Kishan, he's the incumbent now. For me, that is going to be... Do you pick Kishan? Pick a left-handed kind of open... left-handed attacking keeper who can bat.
Yeah, so I actually think... I'm looking at the squad on Cricinfo and it says withdrawn next to his name. So there's a possibility Kishan has been withdrawn from the squad. So if anybody in the comment knows the latest on that in YouTube, we would love to see that. But yeah, it looks like Ishan Kishan has been withdrawn. It looks like the news is reporting that he is asked to take a break. Mental fatigue has prompted Kishan to take a break from Test cricket. I'm just clicking highlights live.
Yeah, well, then that leaves Bharat and Rahul vying for the job. And I mean, if Iyer is going to play, I'm not. So this will be his test for me, Iyer.
Yeah,
bouncy tracks, fast bowlers, tall bowlers hitting the deck. They will be going hard at him. They will be loading up that leg side.
Yeah.
There'll be two men out at all points and a short leg and a leg slip. And it's going to be a trial by fire. Yeah. So I hope Iyer is in the nets practicing his back foot play.
Yeah.
And then Rahul is the natural choice to take the gloves, right? I don't think Bharat is a long-term option.
Okay, so you are sort of in agreement with me on Shreyas and Rahul.
Yeah, we are. But I would bat Rahul at 5 and 7.
Sure, yeah. And then you walk into, like we said, Jadeja 7. Bumrah, Siraj, not 8 and 9, but 4 of 8 through 11. And then your natural questions are, South Africa reports, and this may be part of the mind games that make the South Africa India series so brilliant, we're seeing comments from Introspect about stump mics, etc., being loud and getting another thriller. But South Africa is already starting to report news about playing 4 quicks, or playing all quicks is what the news has said. And if you have Rabada, Ngidi, Kotse in form and stuff, you can play a fantastic quick lineup from South Africa, or fully fit if they're all fully fit. What do you do with the last two bowling spots, DJ? I think your question one, Prasidh picked up 5. So looking good. Mukesh Kumar has become an all format bowler for India as well, as we talked on the show. And then you always come to that perennial question that we struggled in with a World Test Championship final before is, do you leave out one of the current playing highest wicket takers of all time in Ravi Ashwin, and one of the most decorated spinners of all time? And do you leave him out because you need to pick up the fourth quick bowling option in the absence of a quick bowling all-rounder? So what do you do for your two remaining bowling spots?
So I would go with a Prasidh Krishna.
Yeah.
Tall, hit the deck. And we struggled against Jansen last time. Tall, hit the deck, difficult to play, awkward to play. So I would play, the three quicks I would play would be Bumrah, Siraj and Prasin. Shardul isn't, I mean, for me, he's not in the conversation really. The problem with that is when we go abroad, we like playing four quicks, one of whom can bat a little bit. And Jadeja is the sole all-rounder. So I can't see us changing that. Yeah. And that comes down to the quality of the all-rounder we have. And that's Shardul. And if you had a Pandya, just imagine how that changes the balance of this team.
It's unbelievable.
And the last time we went there, Pandya did really well. He's got a 93 at Cape Town and he got wickets. He got Markram out. Was that the last time? No, it was the time before last. Yeah, and it's the quality of that fourth seamer, right? And that is where we fall short of. So we will play Shardul again. I can't see this management changing this.
Yeah. This
formula that they have. I can't see Ashwin walking into this side in South Africa alongside Jadeja. We will just not do that.
Yeah.
But I think those are the four quicks that I would play. Jadeja, obviously, in a holding role and can bat. And then you back your boys to do the job. But it's a formula that has worked a little bit, but it kind of depends on Shardul performing with the bat and the ball, which of the last two games in England, he hasn't done. The World Test Championship final and the one-off test that India lost. Both of which he walked in ahead of Ashwin.
But he just made 76 in South Africa. So that has to count. It wasn't against the South African national
side. South Africa is real South Africa.
I know, but it's...
This is a red letter day. You're backing Shardul to make...
I'm not backing him in terms of what I would like to see necessarily. No, we're talking about what we think will happen. And for me,
it will happen. Yeah. And that's the thing. And if Pandya was there, just an all round of the quality of Pandya was there. Just imagine that.
Yeah. We got it.
It lengthens your batting. It gives you a guy who can come in as a fourth seamer, maybe pick up a wicket or two. And
yeah. Given that you have Jadeja who's good enough to bat at seven, you don't even need to be a great batter. I think if you're a seamer who can bat a little bit at eight, somebody Shardul-esque, but not Shardul, you would walk into the side. You would just absolutely walk on the side. All right.
So the only guy left then is Mukesh Kumar.
Yeah. So for me, actually, I think Bumrah, Siraj and Shardul at eight are confirmed. I think they will give Mukesh a serious look. I think Prasid's five against South Africa will help him. And I'm with you. I actually personally would back Prasid. I do think for the bounce, I do think Mukesh is the most like Shami in terms of his swing. But he's not as quick. But he's just not as quick. And so that threat of,
you don't need that. If you're playing Shardy, you don't need a guy who's the debutant.
So I think I'm with you on the verdict that Prasid will get his chance, but I think they will look very seriously at Mukesh and the Nets to see what kind of option he brings as well. And so I think Ash sits on the bench as well. DJ, two test matches. I know you had a run to catch your cab to the airport as well, so we'll wrap this up here. But two test matches, one at the Century and one at Cape Town. What is the prediction? The final frontier, will Rohit and his men conquer it? Or how is the series going to end up? And as you're thinking about that, I'll hit some of the comments that are coming in that are relevant. Introspect says we're struggling to bowl sides out in the fourth innings. That'll be tested. And Rahul's real test will probably be keeping in India. He can manage overseas potentially, which is interesting, which makes sense on spin. And yeah, lots of great other comments. Jitin shared early on, for me, if the batsmen try to get in and look to defend or leave the new wall, you're allowing bowlers to settle and they'll consistently bowl in good areas. I'd like to see the batters advance down the track early, force the South African bowlers to bring back their length.
In South Africa?
Yeah.
That's a bit harsh.
Force them to bring back their length.
It's going
to
be in your neck.
Yeah. He also said the ball will undoubtedly move around in these conditions. It'll seam and swing, nicking off or getting trapped in front of an incoming ball and then saying it was a good ball isn't good enough. So, high bar coming in from Jitin. Yeah. But yeah, let's come back to the question. Yeah.
So I've had my think. I think it's going to be another 1-1.
That was going to be my prediction, actually.
Tied series.
I think we're going to win a game.
And the reason for that is like an all-time great Indian batting lineup has gone to South Africa and come undone. Yeah. Right? Like multiple times. Our best shot was probably 2011. The Dale Steyn versus Sachin battle, if you remember that, at Cape Town 146. Yeah. And not out and Steyn got five. It's a tough place to go and play cricket and win and come back. And
listen, 1-1 means you won a test and drew the series and shared points. So, I mean, that's a phenomenal result.
But we won a test every time we've gone there for the last few times, other than, I think, in 2014, where they nearly chased 450 at Joburg. But we won a test. Rahul Dravid actually captained the time we won the first test. Srishant was the bowler, if you remember, 2006.
Gosh, your memory is unreal, man.
But we've done well after that. Usually we won a single test, but it's taken more from us to get a second test win under the belt. And last time was probably our best shout of that, to win the series. Now that it's a two-test series, I can't see the India winning both test matches or even winning one and drawing one, I suspect. It's going to be.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. That brings us to a wrap. I also am calling it 1-1. I hope that, it's at least 1-1. I hope we at least win one test at 2-0 or even 1-0 result would be phenomenal. DJ, thank you for joining me. Busy time of year. Safe travels, as I know you head out soon, shortly. And I'm going to be...
I've just got my... arriving in 4 minutes.
There we go. I'll be getting on a plane here in a couple of days to get back to India as well. So it'll be great to see Varun. I won't get to see you this trip, but we will probably record a podcast or do something next week, maybe after the first test match. We'll see how that goes. Thank you, everybody, for joining. I know everybody's got stuff going on. This is the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. We're at One Tip One Hand on all the social networks. We will see you after the first match against South Africa, first test match against South Africa. Thank you, as always, for joining us.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas. Happy holiday season to all.